I can buy my own flowers, but I'd rather you do.
2023 was kind of a bitch, so now I'm making 2024 my bitch.
Wait a second. First off, that was excellent. Number two, point B, C, D, E, is the way you, that line delivery was like.
Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you. I've learned from the best.
I mean, you have, and I'm so here for it. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode, I don't know, leave me alone. I think it's actually 492-ish.
Oh.
And I had a small cardiac event last night thinking about the fact that I am 8 episodes away from 5 and I have no idea what to do for 500 because I have like a short list of 5 dreams and none of them are going to come true. That none of them are going to come true.
We're not thinking that way. We're thinking.
Oh, are we thinking they're going to come true?
Yeah, I think 500 through 505 are all of your dreams.
Okay.
We're just lining them up.
They're
making them happen.
Wait, can't we end the year being negative? Do I not get to do that anymore?
Or do we
have to reset for pretending 2024 is going to be great?
See, here's my thing. It's going to take so much effort for me to feel good about 2024. I'm getting a head start. So I just want to make sure I'm really ready when it gets here. But am I actually there?
No. I keep seeing all these people fucking post. I probably repost it. Who am I kidding? About like restoring your spirit this week for the new year. And I'm just like, can you just suck a dick?
Yeah.
Like, I don't have time for that. I don't want to suck a dick, number one.
No.
It's a religious preference. But like, I just don't want to do that. I don't want to take a deep breath and like focus on positive energy for the new year. I guess I should.
Maybe
I need to buy something.
Oh. I'm not going to make you, just so you know.
Am I a disappointment, though, if I'm like, oh, we need a reason? If I'm not like that, if I'm not like,
no,
oh, I'm just really taking a couple days to like really think about whatever energy, you know, signage, visual board, secreting, whatever.
Mercury is still in retrograde until January 1st.
Yes. How many years has Mercury been in retrograde?
All of them?
Okay, great. But I mean, like all the way through. Is that something I can say?
I want you to be you, and that's
Thank
it.
You.
And I want you to embrace and feel and
Thank
be and do.
You're
how
the
you
one.
Want to.
Yeah. You're the one, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Thank
like
you.
A three. There's like maybe a list of three people who feel similarly, and I really appreciate them. I really do love a holy trinity.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, it's Andy's Girls. I guess it is a time to relax and reuse and recycle or whatever for the next couple days before we're in a new year. And I am so excited for this new episode with a return guest. You know her as a host, writer, and producer, formerly at Spotify. Decider. Is it Decider or The Decider? Is it Decider?
Just regular Decider.
Just regular Decider. Mm-hmm. And more. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Leah Palmieri. Leah, how are we? Obviously amazing.
Obviously amazing. 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 How are you?
I'm so good. How was your Christmas?
Yeah, it happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Did we go home? Or?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And home is?
Connecticut.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
How's Connecticut these days?
So Connecticut-y.
Is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What part of Connecticut are you from? Like, describe it to me in terms of, is it J. Crew? Is it Banana Republic?
Ooh.
Is it Yale hoodie? Like, are we doing a Ivy League sweatshirt energy?
No.
Are we
UConn
doing
only.
A... What?
UConn. Only UConn.
Okay,
yeah. Very UConn.
Okay.
I went to the UConn game. They played St. John's.
Cool. Sports.
Yep. Sports. Couple days before Christmas.
Is that basketball?
Yes.
Is it all we
have there.
Because I really thought it was going to be football. I really did. Okay.
Wow. It's all we have because...
Okay.
This is going to veer real sportsy for you. But back in the day, we had a professional hockey team, the Whalers, and then they moved to North Carolina. And so now we don't have any professional teams in Connecticut. So the only thing we care about is UConn basketball.
Honestly, is that really even a loss, the name the Whalers?
It's a cool logo.
Is it a whale?
Kind of. There's an H and a W. Like, it's a cool logo. Look it up. And if you can, like, get, like, vintage merch and stuff, it is cool.
Wait, not to be a dum-dum, but, like, for the very first time, but whaling, isn't that, like, the art of trapping a whale? Or is it just to love a whale is to whale?
Let's
isn't
go
whaling,
with
like, hunting whales?
Yeah. Well...
Do we really want to do that? Can't we just embrace the whales as a whale?
Yeah, I want the whales to be free and be magnificent.
I mean, Willie number one.
Yeah. I want them to be beautiful and wonderful and living their best lives and like you know, torturing boats and things. So I don't know, but in the history of sports, obviously, our minds weren't always in the best place. Uh-huh. So I don't know what it meant, but I know to the state it meant a lot to have a professional hockey team.
Well, as long as the state is happy. So. I mean, my God, that's what our priority is as individual human people in this universe. Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Thank you. So quick.
Yeah.
Quick question for you. So you have written and, you know, communicated, LOL, podcasted, content created, all that good stuff about, you know, TV culture. Then you made the journey to focusing on the culture and community of music. What is closer to your love language? Is it TV? Is it music? Is it just, I want all of it, please, can I happily imbibe?
I classify myself as, you know, I know we throw around the words pop culture enthusiast, but that is how I identify. Hmm. But I would say with like a music rising. So music is like much more of my, to be totally honest with you.
Okay.
The Bravo stuff I fell into.
What?
Yeah. It wasn't like
you were forced into it. Like,
yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah.
When was this?
When I worked at OK Magazine, I basically launched their entire like video platform. This was over a decade ago. And so
when
part
you
of
were
that
12.
Job, yeah, I was 12 years old.
Doogie Howser, Little Baby Genius.
Yeah.
Love that.
And at that point, I had not seen 1 minute of Housewives. It just was the thing that I just didn't. I was aware of its existence, but like I just hadn't gone down that journey for myself. Uh-huh. And then started covering it. So then, you know, had to be prepared for interviews and stuff. And so then I was very fluent in the language. And then when I went to another job, that's when I got it. When I was like, oh, like this is not meant to be your whole job, because then it's like it can take some of the fun out of it. So it's I really leaned into it more when I was like, oh, this is just to like quiet my mind and to unwind. And I understood it more when I wasn't covering it like that. And then by the time I got to Decider, I also fell back into it. Like I don't, it was just sort of like assigned. And then the next thing I knew, I was like truly eyebrows deep in it. So, and then you get to love it that way because it's hard not to. And it is such an art and I know that sounds crazy, but you get that.
No, 100%.
It is such a, it's so easy to get sucked in. And I'm super proud of the work that I did around Bravo stuff because I also felt like it was important to me to cover it seriously, but also like with a little bit of a wink because that's the way the shows are as well. So, yeah, it was kind of by accident sort of in both iterations of that for me. But it will always like have a special place in my heart. And then even like not covering it for the last couple years, I also took a break from it a little bit because sometimes when it's like your whole world and sometimes you're like, whoa, and taking a break helps you to appreciate it more when you come back to it again.
So when it comes to your relationship with like Housewives and Bravo evolving, where do you find yourself now?
Good question. I don't know if I could define where I am now. I'm in a very like, I'll see what moves me type of thing. Like, that's where I feel like. And the thing that, shout out to Karen, who is still, she is doing social at Decider and she does an incredible job.
I think Ben Huger. I was like, yes. Absolutely. Oh, well, we should always, the grand dame remains, pickleball queen.
This will tie to her because I hadn't done Potomac and I did Potomac right when the pandemic started because Karen had always said to me, it will be there for you when you need it. And that's the way that I feel about it now. I always think of it that way. It will be there for you when you need it. Mm. And so I watched Potomac, I mean, you know, March 2020 and it was exactly what I needed at that time because it was familiar. It was Housewives. I understood and knew this world, but it was new because it was like, I don't know these ladies yet. And so I always think of it that way. You know, Miami is one that like I am not caught up on, but I very much feel that will be there for me when I need it. And there's going to be a time when I'm like, I just want to sit down and watch 70 episodes of this and I will.
We are recording this on Thursday. The new Miami dropped, and I heard it's like fucking insane, the newest episode. And the thing that I find just honestly devastating about, and I've talked about this before, about the fact that we currently have four Housewives franchises right now, yeah. is that at least one is going to get fucked.
Yes.
Because there's just so much to discuss. And when you have alternating guests and everybody's talking about Beverly Hills or everybody's talking about Salt Lake, people are going to want to come on and talk about that thing that they're understandably fixated on mm-hmm. and like obsessing over. And if you're having a really solid, interesting season, but you're not Kyle and Mauricio, or you're not whoever the hell Monica mm-hmm. might be, it's going to get lost in the shuffle. And yeah. it upsets me. Like, I really need to do a Miami specific catch up, because she's that girl. Yeah. She deserves it. She really, really, Alexia alone is like 8 hours of what is happening. It's a wild, wild ride.
Yeah. I also then worry about the other side of the scale, which is, are we going to have a spring with nothing?
But everybody always says that, and then that never happens.
Yeah. I mean, we also have Vanderpump coming up. So, like, then, you know. God.
It gives me agita, because I'm just like, it's because you know it's not. Listen, I don't mean this in, like, an insulting, derogatory way. I just mean that what happened with last season, with mm-hmm. season 10, will never happen again. Mm-hmm. So we mm-hmm. just need to understand our expectations. That was a shooting star. And now we've just got some, like, dust or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be great. It's going to be dust from the sky, or however, you know, the sky works in space and stuff. But like, it's not going to be where it might not hit at that level. I'm sure it's going to be great. I just need to recalibrate my own expectations that this is not necessarily a continuation of season 10, although right. it absolutely could be.
Yeah.
Who's to say? I have no idea.
The thing about Bravo is that it helps its viewers manage expectations in
Does
a way.
It?
Yeah. Well, they don't, but you learn as a viewer. Yeah, they don't. No, they don't.
The 2B continues are so aggressive. They need to stop with the 2B continues yeah. when it's an episode that does not require a 2B continued.
I couldn't agree more. But you have to learn it on your own. It's like a skill. Mm. You have to go off on your own and yeah. understand, guess what? I don't even care if this continues, but you do.
I'm just concerned that with VPR, it's just going to be a lot of people still rattled and upset by the reunion. Oh, and yeah. we're going to get a full season of people being like, that thing that you said about me that may or may not have gone viral, I need to correct.
Yes.
And I don't want 15, 18, 22 episodes, including a 10-part reunion. I don't need that. But I guess that's at the nature of any season, really.
Yeah. And they're messy enough that there's something else.
Yeah.
You know that. There's mm-hmm. there's other. It will be that. But
yeah.
There'll be other stuff on top of it, too.
Totally. And I never watched the trailer for the upcoming season, because I know it came out and I was like, oh my God, I need to do a live reaction for Patreon, which is what I try to do as much as possible, is to do like a live reaction. And it's for people who've already seen the trailer, because it's mostly me being like, what the fuck is happening? I am not the content creator who's like constantly putting, who's right on the mark. I'm the person 3 weeks later yes. who's like, so just catching yes. up. So it has my live reaction to the VPR trailer, which is sort of interesting, I think, for those of us who attended BravoCon, because there was a BravoCon trailer released at the BravoCon panel. So just kind of like discussing the differences and kind of the nuance of there is certainly fascinating. I do want to shift gears, though, because we're going to do a little Southern Charm deep dive. But before we do that, I did beg and plead with you to get your ass together.
I did.
And catch up on a certain franchise. And I want to ask you, because I said, like, what franchise are you watching? Like, what are you interested in catching up on? Why did Salt Lake City come to mind for you?
Well, I fully trust you. Mm. You know that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I had heard a lot of chatter about what a season it's been. Mm. And I had started it. And so I don't like to not finish things. and also, I had the time. And so it was, it was just right. It was just yeah. the right mm. time for all of it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, binging about 10 episodes was a choice. Not one I regret, but
it literally did happen. Dying. Yeah. I'm literally dying.
It was also, again, like I said, It was the right, I did need something to just like take my mind, like just stop my mind, like just like chill my mind all the way out. And yeah. this will do that. I mean, am I stressed about new things now? Yes, I am. Yeah. I obviously am. Mm. But it was, yeah, I have no regrets.
So what was your reaction to those episodes? Did it feel different for you from seasons past? Like, how do you...
I have some general thoughts on it. Okay. I don't miss Jen.
Oh, I mean, can you imagine if you said you did?
I mean,
questions would be asked.
But I'm also like, is what we got worse? And
is what we got this season?
Yeah, is Monica worse?
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. That's I mean, is it weird that I like just.
They're similar. They're very similar. To me, they're very similar.
I'm giving eyes. I understand what you're saying in terms of like maybe they went to the same school of like potential emotional manipulation. But Jen to me is on a scale. Maybe we just haven't seen Monica long enough. I don't think Monica's like anywhere near as overtly manipulative, toxic. She's definitely manipulative. But like Jen Shaw, she made the show tough to watch because she brought plot to a grinding halt.
But I'm just seeing her throw the drinks and I'm like, at least that was like a thing. Whereas like Monica just like dabbing at her eyes and Monica's mother.
I know.
I consider them a two for one deal. Was the mom supposed to be on the show? And like clearly like they didn't
I
want
am
her.
Because assuming like, she was 100% part of the package deal.
I've never 100%. Seen a mother produce themselves the way that like this one does.
I know.
And... It's just like depressing. Like everything about it is depressing. The other thing I want to say too, because I know we're going to come back to Monica, is that Mary is. What deal did Mary get for this season that she like didn't have to do anything?
I think she got the deal where they're like, you don't have to do anything. We don't know how the show is going to work without Jen. Not to say that they didn't think it would, but just to say like, if we can get some sort of like erratic, possibly interesting energy in here, we truly do not care anymore that you didn't show up to the reunion. Like, do whatever you want and we'll focus on aspects of your personal life, maybe a little or maybe not at all.
Two things. She infuriates me, but then almost everything she says I agree with.
Whoa.
And also we have the same McDonald's order,
which was what?
A fish fillet. I think she got I usually do fish fillet and fries. She also got a side of chicken nuggets. And sometimes when I need a full McDonald's order, I also do a side of chicken nuggets. So I did feel, I don't want to say I felt connected because I don't want to feel connected in any way to Mary Cosby. But at the same time, I did feel like not a bad order, especially if you're just going to ride around like in a bus.
In a Sprinter van. Yeah. I mean, you might as well have a fish fillet with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, living your absolute best life.
Yeah. And then my other like just very quick thoughts are that like Meredith, I don't know how to feel about Meredith. I have no idea how to feel about Meredith. And my other thing is that like I just still come from a place of like I really want to like, trust and believe everyone.
It's almost Kim Zolciak, trust, believe, receive.
Like I really want to believe and be on the side of Heather, Whitney, Lisa, like literally everyone. Not everyone, but most of them, especially the like OGs of this franchise. Okay. And then when they make that hard for me, I feel betrayed.
How has Meredith made that hard?
I feel for her if she has a lot on her mind, which I'm sure she does. But
that's what you say when you're about to tell someone to go fuck themselves.
Not go fuck yourself. But at the same time, she is very emotionally manipulative and immediately just starts crying and walks away from things instead of talking about them. And I get it. I wouldn't want like Whitney in my face and like yelling at me and all that. I do get that. But at the same time, I'm like, can you please not just immediately pull the eject button on everything? And it feels like she does that a lot.
What's the difference between Meredith being emotionally manipulative and Meredith being emotionally defensive?
It doesn't read as defensive to me. Okay. It reads as I'm just walking away and not dealing with this. And how dare you even try to talk to me about something right now? Whereas defensive, you'd stay and be defensive. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't stay. She just wants to say, how dare you, and leave. And to me, I'm like, well, that solves nothing. And then this is just going to drag on for 5 more episodes. And so to me, I'm like, just get it over with. And there's not a lot of that. And even just the, like, I wouldn't want to deal with, you know, Angie or Monica or whatever. But when you're just turning your back on them, to me, that's so, like, it's like not, it does, it accomplishes nothing. Fight. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say fight.
You discuss. Can say fight.
Yeah, discuss.
LOL.
Have the discussion.
Go fuck yourself. Have the discussion. Fight.
Like, just get it over with. Yeah. And that's why I think I like Potomac more, because they do tend to have the discussions. Yeah. I'm not saying things don't drag out, but they have the confrontations, and they have them in a way that's not, well, I was going to say, it's sometimes they're able to have them in a way where they are able to talk it out rather than it getting physical. Sometimes it gets physical, where they're able to have it. We, if not settle it, we at least can, like, move past it. And it's not like dragging on them or bringing it up at another dinner. That to me just starts to, like, get old.
Well, I mean, I think New Jersey is probably more guilty of it than not when it comes to, like, not being able to have the conversation without having a little bit of an altercation.
I mean, New Jersey
does not have a great track record for being able to talk it out.
New Jersey, we're still dealing with, like, seasons 1, 2, and 3 now.
Yeah.
On New Jersey. Yeah. Like, whether they're admitting it or not, whether it's, you know, we're pretending it's about something else. Mm-hmm. No, this is still about, like, sprinkle cookies and whatnot. So,
gosh, I mean, I get it on the Meredith manipulation of it all, but then there are moments where she's not expressing herself about, for example, you know, Monica saying you sent me these DMs, and Meredith not showing emotion, which people connected to her guilt, and it really being about Meredith needing to process. Like, I don't know that she's externally emotive in a way that maybe people would prefer, unless she's turtle timing. And then it's like Encyclopedia Britannica meets Google Translate of, like, what the fuck are you actually saying right now? You're speaking in a different accent than you were 3 seconds ago, because God bless the international turtle time. But I think for her, at least, because I watched the most recent episode this morning for the at least third time.
Great.
And at this point, I was like, oh, I feel like I remember what happened. And it's because I quite literally did. But that moment where she's on the catamaran or whatever the fuck, and there she's just kind of talking about the fact that she needed to process what took place, like, that tracked to me.
Yes.
Because I took her being non-emotional as a sign of genuinely, like, maybe she was guilty and got caught. And now that we know a little bit more in real time about, like, word on the street with Monica, I feel like, okay, this makes more sense to me.
Yes, that's what I mean by the last few episodes were really, I was like, did Meredith send, like, did she, is she like this? Does she do this all the time? And I want to believe that no, she doesn't. And no, and yes, I do think she needs to process. And again, that's why I think I get angry about the, like, don't you dare, and the storming away, because that's when we see the most emotion from her.
Mm.
And that's when it feels like, well, where is this coming from? And I get the, like, needing to process, because also she knows she's on TV. She knows there's cameras around. And again, it's very hard to do this, and these shows are not set up for this. But, like, you know, I'm the person who, I'm on the subway, I'm in the shower, and I'm like, oh, I should have said this to them. And, like, I think she's trying to make sure she's got her comebacks.
Yeah.
If it's, whether it's funny or accurate, she's got them ready to go, and they're effective, rather than her just stammering or not being prepared. So I think she's very smart. And I think she's trying to not be some of these other women who do just react instead of respond. And I think it's, you know, she wants to respond. She doesn't want to react. That is, I do think that there is something to that.
Also, this is what it looks like when you figure out you've been fucked with in real time. Like, Meredith's like, oh, I walked into this trap by this person, and now I'm recognizing that maybe this was, like, Monica's doing or something else. But regardless, she seems to be taking advantage of the situation for a very specific narrative. And, you know, we talk a lot, or it's at least spoken a lot about at reunions, like Meredith being a lawyer, Meredith handling some reunion episodes like a fucking deposition mm-hmm. in a great way, where there was that iconic reunion moment between Meredith and Lisa where she was just asking her very specific straightforward questions because you could tell she was building her mm-hmm. defense, like for her final cross. Like, you can see the way her brain works. And I feel like in real time, she's sort of doing the opposite of trying to go back and figure out, at what point did this turn against me?
Yeah.
At what point did I participate in this thing, thinking this is kind of the conversation that I would have with someone, and then realizing that it was just stepping stones mm-hmm. being used against me?
And that's embarrassing to also have to admit.
That's
to.
A little embarrassing, 100%.
Yeah. So I think she's feeling like, oh, I don't want to have to admit that I've been manipulated, I fell into this. Mm. But at the same time, she also wants to be like, hell no, like, get away from me. And so it's, you know, I also think sometimes I approach these a little bit different, where like, I watch Love Island wanting everyone to fall in love.
Aww.
And so like, I watch Housewives being like, these are my friends and I want everyone to be friends. And it's like, bitch, what are you doing? Have you not seen this show before? Aww. And so I want them all to get along. I want them all to be fun and I want them all to be truthful. And like, so then I think that's why it can be emotionally devastating to me, because that's rarely the case.
Also, with some people, when they get so angry and so hot, I'm like, oh, I think they're in the fight for truth. Like Lisa Barlow yes. being so agitated and very clearly saying to Meredith, like, you have fucked with people before, obviously, SEC.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah. SEC. That's the combination of me having had a brain episode where now when I say words, sometimes I'm like, does that sound the way I would type it when I say it out loud? So it's the combination of like Meredith really truly doing things to manipulate or get back at people on camera. And then you're seeing what appears to be evidence of this happening again. Mm-hmm. Why would you believe Meredith when it feels so abundantly clear because of your past experience that this is what she does? Mm-hmm. That it's like the boy who's crying wolf. Like, how is this not an example of that? And so that's how I felt the first of 15 times that I watched the episode. And now again, with that like clarifying information in real time about what allegedly happens in the finale episode and just the cast refusing to acknowledge or film with Monica, which is mm-hmm. a real fucking issue for her for mm-hmm. possibly whether or not she gets a snowflake for next season. It's still entertaining to watch, but there's a part of me that's like, oh man, like Lisa was wrong. Mm. Like I get why she would come to the conclusion that of course Meredith deserves to be dragged because she's doing this again. But now I'm like, I don't think she did.
No. But do you want Monica to have a snowflake?
Okay, so here's my issue. And I have seen other people talk about this. And like, I feel like I've been tiptoeing around it in my head because she was great casting. She was great casting.
Shut up. She was great casting.
She made sense.
You don't
sense.
Have to like someone.
Yes, she made sense.
It right. made complete sense why 100%. This person would.
Great energy, great vibe. You know, we didn't spend enough time on the Louis Vuitton bag. Like, so much happening. She was funny, quick. She had a different sensibility. She wasn't trying to claim wealth instead of just, you know, performing debt. Like, there was interesting aspects about her. I do think that had allegedly word on the street, she not orchestrated this, like, DM thing and maybe other stuff where she was trying to fuck with the cast. It's like she went to Jen Shaw graduate school, but she skipped undergrad. Mm-hmm. And the reality is she didn't need that additional degree. She would have been enough to me as the Monica that we saw, who was maybe like fucking with people on camera, but so does Heather. Like, people understand what it is that you're doing. And if you have someone who's a frenemy or an enemy, or you just have a way to self-produce, if she hadn't gone to that next level, I think this would have been really good. But then I'm like, If a person wasn't a certain way, they would be great. Like, how mm-hmm. unfair is that of me to be like, well, if she didn't do this whole big thing that like maybe happened for several months or like maybe didn't or was too much, she would be great. But I think the whole thing with Monica is that she's going to do too much. Mm-hmm. She did go to that graduate school. Like, she did study really fucking hard. And I wish she hadn't, because I am going to be really sad if she's not back next season. But the thing of it is, it's in allegedly, if we're right, and listen, we might be completely wrong, if she's not back, it's entirely her fault. Like, she just, if you are sending these like Instagram things and you're trying to manipulate and you're that sloppy and people find out, like, that's 100% totally on you. Like, they couldn't do media with her at BravoCon. She was seated entirely separately from the rest of the cast at the Bravos, which I keep wanting to call the Andes. Like, she just truly fucked herself. And I think one of the responses that, or critiques people have had about Heather saying, I won't film with her, is, but you have a job. Like, you have to film with people in your cast. Don't say that you're not going to film. The flip side of that is, like, if everybody is saying that, if everybody in the cast allegedly does not want to film with her and doesn't want to acknowledge her, how on earth can you move forward? Mm-hmm. Like, at what point is Heather criticized for that versus just believed that this is one of those things you can't move forward from? Mm-hmm. And they don't care about her or feel as much of a history with her or feel like they owe her in the ways that they did Jen. So if this had happened with Jen, Jen's first season, the likelihood is Jen would have been brought back. Because we had episodes of first season where people are like, raise your hand if you hate Jen. Everybody raised their hand. Like, the person helping with the conversation was like, oh, my man. Like, it's just, we're not in that kind. This, she's not Jen Shaw.
No.
She's just not.
Yeah.
Which is, for her, I would think, a positive thing. But, like, maybe not. And it just, you know, it makes me sad because it's like, we see her, four kids, yada, yada. Like, she could have, you know, established a really healthy income. Like,
yeah.
But she maybe fucked herself.
Yeah.
She maybe really did. She maybe really did.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing me with free samples. Astapro is a first of its kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. It delivers full prescription strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Living in New York City is not easy. Just ask Sonia trying to sell that house. There are so many mornings where I wake up and think, oh my gosh, I'm having the worst cold of my life. And I realize it's actually from allergies. When my nasal allergies flare up, and that happens when the season changes and the temps get a little warmer than they normally are, I use Astapro, and I'm amazed at how fast I'm back in the game. And that game is looking for Dorinda on the Upper East Side. Astapro always has my back and nose. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Conversations around wellness and weight loss can be complicated. There's the Instagram filter we all see on IG and social media, and then IRL. And between $20 smoothies and daily ice baths, everyone is doing the most to hack the health system. But there's a better way. Row. Row provides access to the most popular weight loss shots on the market. Over 200,000 people have already chosen Row to help them lose weight. And you can sign up from the comfort of your own home. No scheduling a doctor's appointment, commute to the doctor's office, and no waiting rooms. The Row Body Program pairs a weekly shot with healthy lifestyle changes so you can lose 15 to 20% of your weight in a year on average and actually keep it off. Of course, medication must be paired with diet and exercise modifications in order to achieve any stated results. Medication cost is not included in the program. Patients must pay for medication separately. With Row, average weight loss is 15 to 20% in 1 year with healthy lifestyle changes. BMI and other eligibility criteria apply. Go to row.co/andysgirls. You can sign up today and you'll pay just $99 for your first month and $145 a month after that. Medication costs are separate. That's ro.co/andysgirls. Sign up today. I just came back from the salon, and for the record, I went with a sassy little bob and quiet luxury shade of blonde. Yes, that's literally what we're calling it, quiet luxury. Aside from trips to the salon, I don't actually blow out my hair. My hair is naturally wavy, and that's why I love Way. Way's new anti-frizz cream is a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts for up to 72 hours. I know that I have a limited amount of time with wet, wavy hair in which to get myself in order. And that is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It has notes of bergamot, Italian lemon, violet, and more. And it smells unbelievable. Truly, as someone who is a little bit sensitive to scents, I put this in my hair and I feel great. It also genuinely pairs well with my perfume, which I appreciate. I don't blow out my hair because after years of color processing and attempting to make it straight, I know it looks better and stays healthier when I avoid blow drying, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. I've used products, especially with wavy hair, where it feels heavy and looks kind of wet. And that's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream, because it enhances the natural waves in my hair. I still look like me, just a little elevated. And P.S., I am way obsessed with Way's other bestsellers. Their leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, my personal favorite. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com with promo code Andy. In the words of Meredith Marks, when it comes to that week, week and a half before my period, I wish I was disengaging. My PMS is off the charts. Truly, Uber Eats needs to check in and say, it's about that time, isn't it? I know it is. The cravings are crazy. I want to crawl out of my skin. Now it's easier to manage PMS with Estro Control. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony and Estro Control, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. For AGs who are friends of perimenopause, menopause, or postmenopause, Happy Mammoth has hormone harmony. It's not just a supplement for women going through those stages. It's also become a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. I'm engaging.
I know this is not new to housewives, but the stuff with the mom is really hard to watch for me. I think there was a chance there of like really showing like a different and difficult mother-daughter relationship. But the mother to me is so gross. I don't know a better, there's a lot of better words. The mother to me is like, it pulls me out of the show because she's so clearly like putting on this, whatever she's doing, taking the car away, like talking to the plant. Like there's just so many things where I'm like, this is a woman. I'm not a doctor, but this is a woman who's unwell or performing for television in a way that
the
like,
latter.
You're so unwell. You're performing in a way that
she
I can't
went
even.
To Emerson. She wanted, listen, I love Emerson. Emerson was my dream school. I did not get in.
Mine was Northeastern.
Did you get into Northeastern?
No, I got into six other schools.
Yeah,
including
same.
BU.
Same.
But hey,
no,
look
you know
where
what,
we ended up.
You know what?
So.
Look where we ended up. Actually, I have to now thinking in my head, not that it was so long ago that I forgot, but my number one really was Ithaca. And
oh,
my
best
tied
yeah.
with that was Emerson, which I don't think I would have survived at Ithaca. I think I do need a little bit of city energy. I would have much
too
better
cold.
Credit.
Yeah, too cold.
Well, I mean, I probably wouldn't be having my meals at Bloomingdale's, which is what I did when I went to school in the Upper East Side.
Yeah.
But quite literally multiple days a week, I was like, let me go to Bloomies and have a nosh.
I wish I knew you. We were both at Marymount at the same time.
Oh my God, I forgot about
yeah.
that. Wait,
I wish
you
I
went
knew.
To six schools and you chose Marymount? What were those other schools? Were those real schools?
I got into
schools?
Them. I didn't go to them. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah. I went to UConn for 2 years.
Did
and
you?
That, yeah.
Oh yeah, we had a lot of transfers.
Yeah, and then I transferred for the last 2 years to Marymount.
So what other schools did you get into? Humble brag.
Ooh, great question. UConn, I got into Marymount. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't,
spoiler alert.
I went to an all girls high school. And so I was like, I need some testosterone in my life.
So,
and
so you that's went, why to I went to
So I went to UConn first. UConn, I consider UConn my like actual college because that was very much like basketball, partying.
Yeah.
Like that was
nightmare.
Like real
would
college.
Never, would
yeah.
never want it.
School, like, you know, classes were like, you don't have to attend. They're not taking attendance. And then when I was like, okay, for what I want to do for my career, like it's just not popping off in Stores, Connecticut. So like, I gotta go. And so that's
in where Connecticut?
Stores, STO. O-R-R-S.
See, maybe
yeah,
I
exactly.
would have gone. Maybe
exactly.
I would have gone. I love
so then
the
I
stores.
Moved here. Yeah.
Well, it's yes. That would have probably gotten me. I do remember yeah. having a conversation with my dad in high school where he was like, listen, I know you want to go to like whatever school, XYZ, but if you go to URI, which is where my parents met,
yeah.
He's like, if you go to URI, there's like a chunk of change that I have saved to for your college. If you go to URI, you're going to get that money.
Mm.
But if you go to a private school, you're not. But nobody thought of the fact that what happens if I don't get into URI?
Did See, you not get in?
No. And it was I was applying to school the years because URI is a fantastic school. It's a great school, you know, ocean degrees, bio. I don't remember. I'm not science, but like they genuinely a great school. But when I was applying to college, I applied the year that some schools that if you had like a certain grade level and you were, you know, in state, I probably would have gotten in the year before. But the year I applied, I think was the first generation of people where it's just like, you can't get in anywhere. It's just so difficult. So nobody anticipated that I wouldn't get into URI. So then they were like,
you
okay.
showed them.
I really did. I was like, are you making me choose between my dreams?
Yeah.
Because I feel like I need to leave Rhode Island. I feel like I need to have a new chapter.
Yeah.
And now when I go back, I'm like, oh my God, Rhode Island is like the best.
Yeah.
Truly. The jam. I mean, why are we talking about this?
Neither of us went to Emerson. And that's
neither of us went to Emerson. And shout out Ithaca, which is a phenomenal, incredible communications.
I do want to do on this, but I do want to talk a little bit about Jack and the mission. And the Lisa and Heather dynamic there, because I actually, and I might be a nerd about this, I do find it so refreshing and such an important part of Salt Lake City that they are talking about religion in this way and about mission stuff. Because, like, I don't know anything. I've never seen Book of Mormon. I know. Oh, shame on me. Okay. I should really go.
Well,
I know. But, like, I do find this very interesting. And I also find the dynamic between Lisa and Heather and, like, also the, like, Jack not telling Lisa and then Lisa not telling Heather. Like, all of that I find very fascinating because I don't know much about it. And I think it's just such a, no other Housewives has this going on. And so I'm glad that they have, you know, not all the way, but leaned into it a little bit more, even if it's just for the purposes of the Lisa Heather drama. I'm really glad that they've explored this and not just been like, you know, oh, Lisa's throwing a party because Jack's going away. Like, I'm glad that it was actually a thing that they gave as much time to as they did. Because I liked learning about it. I liked seeing what it did to Lisa, for lack of a better term. Like, I do like seeing what it's doing to her and her family.
The impact of it, her being emotionally vulnerable, her being really connected, her pride.
Yeah.
It's really, I feel like they've been really respectful in how it's been discussed. And also with Heather having some critiques, but just based on her experience, not about Jack's choice, but about the structure of this and what this actually means. I think they've been really, really respectful.
And I like the, that there is nobody's right or wrong in this kind of thing. I get Lisa not wanting to talk about it with Heather. And I get Heather being hurt by that. But I also see both of their reasons of why. And I like that it's, you know, Lisa doesn't want to be more petrified of this than she already is. And even if Heather decided to really put a positive swing on it or just be supportive, you could still tell that her own experiences are going to impact the way she responds. And so that to me has been one of the more interesting things this season. Also, I want to go to Bermuda now. Have you ever been to Bermuda?
I think I have been to Bermuda when I was like a wee little kiddo, but who doesn't want to go to Bermuda? Bermuda is like the best. I can't say it. Bermuda. Bermuda is like the best.
Yeah. So that's what this season has done to me.
Lisa's Twitter has been just on fire.
Oh.
So funny. And she did post something about like, oh God, I'm going to fuck this up. So I'm so sorry. But it was something along the lines of like, you know, Jack's doing great. He was in the hospital for 3 days because he misses us, but like he's doing amazing.
Yeah,
Lisa.
That's right. Yeah.
That's ma'am. Right.
Yeah.
That's not.
Yeah.
I don't know that we needed to hear that. I don't know that that was communicated effectively, but hopefully Jack's having a great time.
I
also, she did say in a confessional, like, he's definitely going to get robbed. I was like, Lisa.
Yeah.
First off, no, ma'am. Number two, should we be making peace with that? I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
It's
I don't know.
It's how she's processing.
It is how she's processing. It's a little, I don't, that whole arc made me a little uncomfortable with the, like, Lisa wanting to pick areas where she was excited to go shopping. I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is one of the reasons why he didn't want to tell you. That's going to be her. Or maybe that's just Lisa and it's just like so tongue in cheek. Lisa is the epitome of tongue in cheek.
She's also, you know, she copes with humor as well. Whether she intentionally means it or not, she does cope with humor. 1,000%. So I do relate to that.
1,000%. And also the intention is part of the LOL. Listen, so I have been thinking a little bit about the Heather and Whitney of it all.
Okay.
And, you know, the exploiting my vagina, everything else. I am not, I don't speak Twitter. Actually, no, I don't speak Twitter, but I also definitely don't speak Reddit. So like if
I... Did you read Heather's book?
I did not.
Okay.
So people were like, blah, 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 her book. And I was like, oh, I'd be interested to see that. Someone messaged me, might have been a couple of people messaged me, honestly, and was like, oh, it's on the page that she's talking about is on Reddit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, great, what's Reddit? So then I Googled Reddit, Heather Whitney, maybe vagina, definitely sexuality book. And it is, in fact, thanks to those angels on Reddit, they did screenshot the page in discussion. Have you read Heather's book?
No, I have not.
So this is going to be news to both of us because I truly didn't read it in full. Okay, so this is thanks to the, I don't even know, community or something, Bravo Real Housewives. I don't know what to call it. I don't know. I don't speak Reddit. But like thanks to those champions, those kings, those members of just absolutely our faith, someone, I guess, screenshot or something. So this is the page from Heather's book that got Whitney apparently rattled. Okay. And I literally have not yet read Heather's book, which I heard was great.
I had heard the same.
So
yeah,
maybe a new year, maybe that's our resolution, is to read Heather's book.
Could be.
Possibly.
Could be.
Okay. So this is what Heather wrote about Whitney in her book. Okay. My love for photography never faltered. And when I wasn't... Oh, is this like a copyright? No, it's not a problem. My love for photography never faltered. And when I wasn't focusing on the fifth B, business... Oh, I don't know what the four other Bs were. I was happy to photograph the original three. None of this makes sense. Photography and my lust for all things led me into the art of boudoir. Mm. I knew sex. I had been a married woman, and I had been outside the backyard gates enough to learn a few things. I worked solely on referrals and denied more clients than I accepted. When Whitney Rose reached out, there was no doubt I wanted to take pics of her wild and untamed. The first time I hung out was one-on-one with Whitney behind the... The first time I hung out one-on-one with Whitney was behind the camera lens. I was prepared to be the art director, the set director, and the boudoir stylist. Most boudoir shoots required a lot of hand-holding, confidence-boosting, and lingerie coaxing. Try this leather harness, bra, and matching thong. I know it feels weird, but it photographs fantastic. Try getting on all fours and arching your back. Tilt your head toward me, chin down, relax your lips, booty pop. Click. Mm. Nailed it. Within 5 minutes of arriving at Whitney's shoot, I knew this was not going to be an ordinary session. This wild rose was not scared to handle a little prick. As soon as I arrived, she showed me the shopping bag she had brought, overflowing with thirst trap thongs and thigh highs. She had enough stiletto heels to make a stripper pole jealous, and just enough kink to make me feel like I might be in over my head.
Wow.
It was clear that she knew all of Victoria's secrets, and I had things to learn. The next few moments did not seem like the beginning of a boudoir photo shoot. They seemed more like a scene from Titanic, where Rose takes Jack back to her first class cabin under the guise of pursuing art. I was clearly Jack, the eager artist, and the outspoken Whitney was quite aptly Rose. I suggested she wear the black gauzy nightgown that swept romantically to the floor and opened in front all the way to the waist. I took note that the matching panties were microscopic and dangled off the hanger like a tiny pirate's eye patch. When Whitney, it's so illustrative, my God, the painting, yeah, all the colors in the
I mean,
wind.
Her creative writing teacher has really taught
phenomenal,
her well.
Yeah. Absolutely. When Whitney, the details, truly, if you feel like you're there. When Whitney emerged from the bedroom in the outfit, all the lessons about boudoir photography that I had learned from Santiago years ago, I want to know who Santiago is, came sharply into focus. I was filled with what can only be described as el espíritu de la dos tres pies. Wow, phenomenal. I took French. This was the sign, the mantle shifting, the calling made sure. My time had something, something, next page I don't have.
That's it?
I mean, that's the page that was screenshot for Reddit. Is that enough?
I mean, not to justify the fight that they're having.
So do you believe that her vagina was exploited in that? Or her sexuality? I think if we, can we take out actual, like, because vagina is so specific.
Yeah.
Can we insert, for lack of a better term, sexuality instead of vagina? Is that giving Whitney too much credit? I don't think it is.
Here's what I'll say. I believe that if those are Whitney's feelings, her feelings are valid. However, as a viewer, there's nothing in there that surprised me at all that we haven't already seen from Whitney. We've seen you twirling around a stripper pole. I'm guessing we've seen her in underwear probably at some point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, like, know that she was in, you know, Lululemon, which, oh, she might have actually been. Oh, you know what? There's more.
Okay.
There's another page. Let's continue on. Again, I am very new to Reddit. So continuing on with the second, people who are like on Reddit are like, she's a fucking idiot, which you're not wrong. Okay, so continuing on the second page, this was the sign, the mantle shifting. Oh, let's go back to El espíritu de los tres bis. This was the sign, the mantle shifting, the calling made sure. My time had come at last to sip from the holy grail of boudoir photography. I was to shoot the three bees, and I would glorify them through the chosen vessel, Whitney Rose. We started out with a few pictures of her walking, the nightgown billowing behind her bronzed boobs and butt. She was a natural model, playful and sexy, sweet and seductive. I could not take the photos fast enough. I had the music in me. We went outside in the floaty black nightgown to get some natural wind and golden light. Whitney shone. There wasn't a second of cajoling or negotiating for a good shot. She was down for anything and everything and flipped through expert poses the way I flip through Instagram filters. In a town full of beauties and beasts, there was only one wild rose, and she was blooming. We were wrapping up scene number one and getting ready for outfit number two when Whitney went straight for B number three. Again, apologies. I don't know. It's like Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't know what the B's are, but into it. Jack, I want you to draw me like one of your French girls, wearing this, wearing only this. She reached down and slowly removed her pirate. Oh, this is maybe... Sorry, I'm just reading ahead.
Oh, boy.
She reached down and slowly removed her pirate patch panties. Ahoy, matey. My prayer came out instinctively, fervently, and muchas gracias, that's me adding that, surprisingly in Spanish. And here we keep going. Oh, Espiritu de Santiago, I pray to thee. Dima, I'm so sorry, you guys. I really did. Je parle français un peu. De fuerte and guide mi mano that I may honor you and los tres bees, especially the bare naked part, which is presented before me now. I felt the answer to my prayer immediately after I offered it. Why was I panicking? I knew exactly what to do. Something about Whitney's pantyless attire was strangely familiar. I had seen this once before. Oh, God, I'm so... Oh, this is in the south of France. I don't know how to say that. Yassine in the city of Perpignan. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to cultures and all the languages in the south of France.
I think she's exploiting her French more than Whitney.
She needs to stop, okay? Sitting bare-assed on my lap. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Hold on. Yassine. Oh, I think that's a person. In the city of Perpignan in the south of France, sitting bare-assed on my lap. Penis dangling. I think that person has some thoughts. As I taught the sacred law of chastity. Wow, I really do need to read this book. And maybe I don't smoke a cigarette, but
yeah,
I'm imagining one, like a cartoon version. If he had taught me anything, it was to embrace the philosophy. No pants, no problem. Oh my God, I need to read this book immediately. Whitney pulling a full Winnie the Pooh. Been there, done that. Bought the t-shirt. I'm sorry. I proceeded with the photo shoot as calm as a summer's morn. Who wrote this? This is so wild. Written. I can't wait. I honestly want to do a Patreon episode where I just read the entire book out loud, or maybe just if someone can earmark the chapters that are like this. I photographed her from belly button to backside without breaking a sweat. Sidebar, Whitney's saying that like Heather doesn't talk about sexuality at all. We should maybe discuss if we have time, because I still have a paragraph to go. But she's talking about somebody's dick. I mean, she's talking about maybe fucking somebody, right? Doesn't that count?
I think the words are there, but I truly have no idea what she's talking about.
Probably because I'm reading a random fucking chapter. I proceeded with the photo shoot as calm as a summer's morn. I photographed her from belly button to backside without breaking a sweat. This is wild. As I was that's me saying that. Mm-hmm. As I was that makes a difference. As I was leaving later that night, I sported the tiny black panties on the patio, once flung, now forgotten. I walked over, picked them up, and slipped them into my pocket as smoothly as a sleeve of French, I don't know how to fucking say this, imovine. Okay, you never know when an eye patch might come in handy. That's so much weirder than what I thought it was gonna be.
Weird.
Shout
out
to me for realizing that you could like scroll to the right for a second. Wow, I'm a genius.
Okay, so now that we've seen
bonjour, this, ça va, salut, très bien. Like I can say some things.
I believe you.
Thank you.
I believe you. I don't know how to say I believe you in French, but I do believe you.
Je believe you. Mm-hmm. Je believe too. Mm-hmm. Je believe vous even.
Great. Now that we've heard this part, okay. I will say...
Not great. Not great.
Here's what I don't understand about this, though.
C'est bon?
Mm-hmm. When you write a book, you have to fact check it. So was this not... Like, did Whitney not get this in advance?
Well, here's the thing that I'm confused by, because in their quarrel on the actual episode, it is noted, I believe, that Heather shared the book with Whitney, who gave her feedback about the panties, like about a question of maybe Whitney saying, like her changing whether or not Whitney was the one who like wanted to remove the panties or something panty related was adjusted. So, I mean, if Whitney got a galley of the entire book or just the parts that mentioned her, Heather did her due diligence, which she probably needed to as a writer, but also as a friend. Did she not?
Here's what I'll say now with that context.
Yeah.
Yes, I would want, even if it was my best friend, yeah, if I was talking about photographing them nude, belly button to backside, I would want it written in writing that they signed off on, these are the words that I'm using and they're cool with it. Mm. Otherwise, Heather would have needed to edit to allude to maybe more, but without so much detail. And so, however, as a viewer of the show, I do appreciate this context of like, oh, that's how close these two are or were at one point, or like this is a seminal moment in their friendship or whatever. You know, it's sure.
It's like, not great though, right?
No, it's not. I wouldn't want somebody to write that about me.
It was kind of pungent. Like it was giving me, remember when Gap had fragrances?
Mm-hmm.
It was giving me a little Gap Spring or whatever the fuck those fragrances were called, where it's just like too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. It's pungent. Yeah. It's just too saturated. That was giving me like, it was too saturated in terms of floral.
Yes.
But maybe that's just a writing issue. I don't know much of that, but it's writing about Whitney.
It's a writing and content.
It was a lot.
About, yeah.
But I mean, you know, it's not, it wasn't a critique.
But the other thing about it too, that like, if I were Whitney, I would hope that Whitney can embrace that ultimately, while I believe Heather is judging her, she is also appreciating her confidence in this moment.
Wait,
too.
Whether Heather is judging her in what way?
She's just like, she took off the, what was it called? Pirate's patch panties or whatever.
She was judging her in that? Was she just like painting a picture like Jack and Rose?
There is some judgment to it.
You think there was?
Yeah, there's some. There's definitely some that she's just like, whoa, this lady just
What's the difference between a judgment and a wink, though? I felt like it was like winking a little bit.
I'm not saying it's...
Which wasn't judgment. It was just like...
It's a pie, if you will.
Okay.
And a slice of it is judgment. A slice of it is winking. And I think a larger slice of it is not even envy, but just like appreciating the confidence that Whitney had.
Oh, I think there was some envy in there.
Sure. Then we'll make envy a part of it too, the appreciation of confidence. Mm-hmm. And so I get where Whitney's coming from in that, like, yeah, I wouldn't want all of those details in there. But as a viewer, I'm like, well, it was too much for me, but it does give me context. But at the same time, like, good for Whitney, which she's done the entire time on the show, of being confident, sexually
expressive,
very sure of herself,
totally.
Yes. And so I do appreciate all of that, but yeah, it should have been edited.
I mean, it's the difficulty of having this conversation, because I thought it was maybe too descriptive, but again, how much of that is like a writing critique?
Yeah.
Was there a lot of focus on Whitney's sensuality? 100%. Mm-hmm. Could a person potentially be embarrassed by that? Absolutely. I get it. Is it being used in a way that feels like manipulative or exploitative? I don't know, because there's a difference between Whitney feeling empowered to share her own sexuality or sensuality and another person doing that on her behalf.
Yeah.
So it's like, how do you kind of compare, connect the two? Is that fair to Whitney? Like, she's choosing to like oil up Justin on camera and do some cardio exercises or whatever else. When Heather does it, is that okay? Do you cancel it out because we have seen the way that Whitney has been so sex positive or sensuality positive on TV? Does that make it okay for Heather to do this? But I really don't. I didn't read that as, maybe I'm a fucking idiot. I mean, for the very first time, but like, I didn't read that as Heather criticizing Whitney. I read that as Heather being like, this is incredible. And there's so many people who are uncomfortable opening up. And this person was like ready to go. I get that could be embarrassing for Whitney, but like,
Is it?
I don't know.
There's tones of it in there of like, nobody else has ever done this. I would never do this. But wow, look at her go. And so like, I.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I get that. Here's what, I 100% get that.
Did you read the Time Person of the Year article about Taylor Swift?
100% did.
Yes. Okay. So that the most powerful the most powerful line about that was
all of them.
But to me was the, it's not up to us. I'm paraphrasing this, but it's not up to us to say whether she was canceled or not. She felt canceled and her feelings are valid. Yeah. And so that's
Taylor
how I feel about
Swift's
Whitney.
Feelings are valid.
They are. All of our feelings are valid.
They are.
And so I feel that way about Whitney. If Whitney feels embarrassed or this was out of line or whatever, those feelings are valid.
And also, if Heather gave her maybe, I'm sure we'll get into this on the reunion, which is going to be so fucking awkward, but if Heather gave her that those entire two pages, I don't know what Heather was asking her for. Sign off, is this factually correct? Or was she just asking her, like, is this what happened? I'm not going to give you the actual two pages. Or maybe she gave her the actual two pages and she's like, will you sign off on this? Is this factually correct versus does this make you uncomfortable? Mm. I think what Whitney said in that moment is incredibly important. And also, this is Heather's, it's tough because it's like borrowing obviously from Whitney's behavior, but it's also Heather's experience.
Right.
This book is about Heather's journey. And yeah. So it's, how do you unpack that?
I don't really get about it is that like, if one of your friends wrote a book, wouldn't you read it?
I'm sure she did.
Even from a...
Did she not?
They all seem to be like, didn't read it. Like they all,
I think somebody did, right?
Like, I just like feel like if I knew somebody who wrote a book, I would, even if I was reading it just to be like, what'd you say about me? I would still skim and read it that way.
Yeah, but it's also noun or verb and Bad Mormon. Like they've heard Bad Mormon so many times that at a certain point it's like, whether or not they've read it, are they going to own that on camera?
The other part about this is that I know when the book came out, it was timed to when the black eye situation was happening. And so there was a lot of focus on how'd you get the black eye.
Yeah.
And
during her book tour.
Yeah. And so I don't remember them using like Whitney's vagina as an excerpt or a way to sell this book.
No, you know it definitely what I mean? Was not.
And so I don't think.
Definitely was not.
Yeah. So that to me was like, if it was a thing that like mattered. You know, it would have been in page 6. And so it just feels very like, all right.
Well, but using it on a book tour to excerpt, I don't know that that would have sold books. Like using it versus talking about questions asked at Q&As on a book tour where people are asking over and over again about the black eye, that's going to call attention to this, which is different from how was Whitney maybe affected by it.
No, even just a like, here's everything Heather said about her cast members in the book. I didn't even see any of that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I didn't even see that happen. It was truly just, how'd you get that black eye, girl?
Like, but you can exploit something potentially without it being used as a marketing opportunity. Like, it's enough for it to be in the book.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying, like, even, like, the editor, the publisher wasn't being like, oh, this will be the thing that people...
Maybe because it's too fucking floral. There was a lot going on.
She was blooming.
She was in bloom. It was very floral. Like, that's going to be wild to read if all of the chapters are that illustrative. It's like a lot of people don't use cursive anymore.
Yeah.
So to read a book entirely in cursive is a lot.
Yeah. When you read it, let me know.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Housewives book?
I did Annie's Girls Book Club once years ago. We did Turtle Time, whatever, the Life on the Ramona Coaster. Mm. I can't think of a single other Housewives book at this moment in time, but I know that there have been great ones. Let me turn. I mean, I like books about the Housewives, like Dame Brian Moylan's book, The Housewives, The Story Behind the Real Housewives is excellent. I like, this is a non-answer, but I love Andy Cohen's like diaries.
Yeah,
I haven't read Daddy Diaries because they didn't send it to me, but I would love to. Mm-hmm. And then other people have written stuff.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single one. I know I've read them, but I couldn't finish Carol's. I tried a couple times and I kept getting stuck at her childhood. Mm. And then I was like, I'm going to circle back to this. And then I never finished it, but I want to. I didn't even get into the, you know, John era. Because I know.
Yeah.
I need to go back. I have it. I bought it. I fully support her in all of her endeavors. And that was a big fucking deal when it came out. Like Oprah, all that. You know, like, that was a press tour. Mm-hmm. That was a press tour. You know what I'm saying? Like, we should only wish for a tenth of that. Do you have a favorite?
I remember enjoying Marge's because...
Oh, I need to read it.
She really...
I own it.
Yeah. And, you know,
it's supposed to be really good.
I really liked Craig's from Southern Charm. I really liked Craig's.
Did he write a book?
Yeah.
Pillow Talk? Is that the name of it?
Should be. I think it is. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's the name of it. Yeah. I'm 99% sure that's what they ended up calling it.
Holy shit.
I liked his a lot, too. I didn't mind Shep's. You know, it was very Sheppy.
Nightmare.
But I actually thought Craig's was really good.
So whomever wrote Craig's did a better job than whomever wrote Shep's. Positive thing about Heather's book.
Chefs.
Did he? Well, that's the problem. The positive thing about Heather's book is I do believe that Heather wrote it. And that's important. Genuinely, I'm not saying that as like a dick. That's good. I like when people write their books.
Yes. Same. I would rather have it be shitty writing and have it be from them rather than clearly somebody else wrote this.
Here's the adjustment I would make to that, in my humble opinion. I would rather someone be honest and open about how much contribution they made to the writing of their book. I would rather be a well-written book that they partnered on, maybe, but them being honest about it. I don't know. Depends on the person, honestly. Do I like their personality enough to attach 250 pages to it?
I feel like I want to know these people aren't good writers. So I want it to be like...
But that would be tough to spend money on.
Oh, yeah. No,
I don't want to spend money on a bad book.
I haven't bought any of
unless it's like a wonderfully... Like,
these were sent to me.
Ramona's book includes... I used to like flip through pages and just like, that was a book club. It was just like me flipping through a couple pages. And I remember like the first page that I flipped through, this was like on an episode back in the day, was just a picture of Ramona. And it said like, look at my fit body. I mean, you can't ever forget a moment like that.
I'm sorry. Was that not on every page? Because that's what I would expect from a Ramona
book. I mean, I think it was. Yeah. I think it was like 16-point font and just a lot of pictures.
Yeah.
Before we wrap, can we just circle back to Monica one more time?
So gotta go.
What do you think is going to happen? Do you think she should return? Do you think this is going to be the reveal that people are discussing where it's maybe an amalgamation of a couple different things? Like, how are we feeling?
You're exactly right in that it made complete sense to cast her. And there were parts of her that were right for the show. I do think, yes, what comes out in the finale and the reunion is going to impact this decision. It sounds to me that there's sort of no coming back from whatever it is that she did. If this is the situation that we're in, it sounds pretty not okay. And if nobody wants to film with her, and if, you know, she has to be sat separately and things like that, that's...
Oh, I think she's going to be seated at the reunion with everybody else.
Well, yeah, of course. She's got to be on those couches. Ultimately... No, we gotta. There's a case to be made for her coming back without the mother. If the mom doesn't come back,
I don't think the mom is an issue. Well, maybe for people viewing that, but that's not I don't think that's a Monica issue. I think that's maybe like a production storyline issue. You know what I think is nuts is that we had her one off make a joke about the fact that she had a long term affair with her brother in law and then never mention that ever again.
Yeah.
Should we not have spent some time on that? Should the cast not have asked her a couple questions? Did they and it didn't make the cut? Like, why is that? Like, we should have had one of these beautiful vacation stories and had someone do the thing that Sonia's doing on Girls Trip of like, hey, just found out all this information about, you know, Ashley Madison. Let's talk about it for an hour and a half. Like, it's highly produced, but aren't these women also interested in that? If someone says that and they're flippant and you're filming a reality TV show that's about conflict and conflict resolution and like hot, juicy goss, the fact that she not only did this thing, but seems almost proud about it, or maybe that's her, I don't know, coping with it. I don't know. But she's certainly presenting it as something that she has externalized into being a joke. I would have some follow-ups.
I think that's the problem. If this was a person who we could, because there's got to be a gold mine there of interesting information, of her reactions, of all of that. My read on the situation is that the mom is there as a distraction. All of this other business is there as a distraction. And she's flipping it on other people before it can get flipped on her. The thing that like really annoyed me was the moment on the bus when she sees Meredith and Lisa talking, when Meredith is telling Lisa, oh, Brooke signed with Ford Models. And the second that she's like making her faces and she's like, I don't understand why these two would be talking. And it's like, that to me was so freaking annoying. Mm-hmm. Let them talk. We want them to talk. Yeah. Like, I don't need you meddling in this. And so there's a way to stir it that she has definitely done this season. That's not the way I want her stirring it. And so I think she's just created all these other distractions. But yeah, I'd much rather hear about the affair. Like, I have a lot of questions. Like, you know.
Also, how unfortunate is it that so much of her story arc is about her mom, which is not a storyline. I mean, behind the scenes, you might be like in some way in control of how much access you want to provide and understanding the benefit of it. But it's not ultimately about stuff that Monica was in control of. You know what I'm saying? Like, her mom being shitty and them having a weird relationship is more about the effect of that on Monica. Yes. And not something that she's in control of. And the affair, for all intents and purposes, seems to be something that she was likely in control of at a certain point. Why aren't we hearing about the decisions she made and whether or not that was like just an actual choice that she made to do this thing and the fallout of that, or just the feeling from it, versus her reactions to choices made maybe against her or with her or whatever by her mom? Like,
she loves being a victim. And so she.
Well, I mean,
I know that's not
a little harsh.
No.
You don't think so?
Oh, she loves it.
What?
Yeah, she likes, not because of the mom stuff. She likes on the show being a victim.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You don't think that's a little overly critical?
I feel very bad about the mom stuff. I do feel very bad about it. Okay. I don't like that relationship. I think, but there's a lot of other things, even the Meredith-Lisa thing. Then she's the victim. She's like, well, why would these two? She makes it about herself in that way. They all do this to a degree, but I'm seeing it a lot with her. And in the affair, she wasn't a victim. And so she doesn't like leaning into that as much. That's the read I'm getting on it.
Okay, what about an adjustment or an option to the read, an alternate to the read, which is she believes that she's the voice of the people? To say that she feels like it feels a little shamey, no? And maybe that's the point?
No, it's a manipulation tactic. That's what I mean by it. Yeah, that's what I mean. She wants everyone to feel bad for her. I'm not shaming her. Yeah. She has been through it. Yeah, I feel very bad for her. Totally. Yeah. I feel very badly for this relationship she has with her mother. Yeah. Like, that feels terrible. I do think, what doesn't feel fake to me is I do appreciate her relationship with her kids. I do think she seems to have a grip on motherhood in a way that I don't think she's using for the cameras. But I think there's just other times where she's been like, yeah, I don't mean to shame her in that way. I'm shaming her in the way that she's twisting things and making people feel bad for her when it's like, well, what are you doing though?
Or maybe people feeling bad, being made to feel bad for like having a positive, if not complicated, relationship with each other. Like, she's essentially saying, Lisa and Meredith, you should continue fighting. You shouldn't embrace and have fun and have a joke. And they're like, we can actually do a couple of those things. And right now I'm congratulating Meredith on Brooks being signed to like Ford Models, you know, like, I think there's that too. It's like, fuck, man, she didn't need to do it, but maybe she did, because this is who she is. Take someone at their word. I think that's what the rest of the cast is doing. And they're like, you went too far.
Yeah.
Like, that's, if she's not back, it's entirely on her.
Yes.
And she is painting herself on social as someone who is having things happen against her.
Yes.
Which is, that's a tough dynamic. If it's like, the cast is against me, you're probably not incorrect in feeling that. I think that's abundantly clear to people in watching real time. But why is that happening?
Yep.
Are you taking responsibility for it? She can't. She really, honestly, quite literally can't, because that would be a giveaway as to what happens on the finale. She can't do that in real time. Mm-hmm. But what's going to happen at the reunion? Is she going to cop to it and say, like, that happened? Or is she going to say it didn't? What happens if it didn't happen? Like, what proof are we going to know? I mean, I believe that it happened. But, like, what proof are we going to know that this really truly took place. We were all convinced that Meredith did it, and it turns out that probably, I think, really didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I don't know what Monica's going to admit to.
That's going to be tough for her, too, because it's like, if you admit to it, is that just, I don't know how, what I would do if I was Monica. Like, if you admit to it, is that closing the door? If you admit to it, is that providing a space where you can potentially move forward with them? Like, and that sucks. Like, this is a potential, you can't really monetize. There are very few housewives, Heather, honestly, is one of them, who are able to really kind of successfully monetize off of the jump.
Yeah.
But Monica, she's getting whatever she made for this season. Now she's known, so there's that. But I don't know that, I don't even remember what her business was, where it was like Snuggies or something. I'm sorry. I don't know. I like don't speak foreign languages because I'm an idiot. And like, I don't remember the baby thing, but there was like a baby, there was a baby item that she was like sewing. Genuinely, I just don't remember what it was. But like,
it was like a blanket or something. Yeah.
So totally, she like, she had that. She
you
was
wrong
to
about Snuggies.
I think, like, is that what it's called? I really don't know. I don't know babies. Yeah. But like, I really don't know. I don't know the baby industry, but like she had the idea for things, you know, like she, this could have, but again, it could have been something if maybe she was a different person. That's an unfair, because I'm just completely living in an alternate universe. And I think she took for granted what would happen if she got found out. But that's the whole thing with Housewives, is you don't think that's going to take place.
Yeah. Exactly
that. And maybe you don't think that the punishment's going to be that bad. Because looking at everybody supported Jen. Yep. A lot of people on the cast supported Jen past the point where you would think that would continue to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she's not Jen, for better or worse. She's really genuinely not Jen.
Yeah. And I want to be clear here. I don't mean that she likes being a victim of the mom. I don't.
No, I hear
that.
What you're saying.
Like, it's I think she really has actually done her best to break that. Yeah, I really
break that
do
cycle
think she
with
has.
100%,
yeah.
100%.
I think it's just within this group.
I hear you. And I really appreciate that clarity.
Thank you for. No, but thank you for pushing me to explain further. No, I do. I mean that. I do. I mean that. Okay. I don't want to come off that way, because I feel for her on that. And I appreciate all she's done to correct that or work on that or whatever. But that's where my sort of sympathies end.
And I totally hear you. And your use of the word might be entirely valid and appropriate. I just, it was just like, to think of Monica, I know this sounds so fucking dumb, because it's like, I get it. Like, I get, I don't disagree with you, but to think of Monica as manipulative, it takes me a second. Because I'm like, almost catching up in real time. Because I don't think, this is how good manipulation works, is it's like built on an element and seed of truth. So I don't think Monica is like in and of herself a lie. I just think that she went too far, and she's definitely more strategic in a way that's not particularly positive to her character, that she's going to go lower than maybe other people have.
So I caught up recently, as you know, but what's been the vibe throughout the season? Have people liked her? Like, what's been the viewer vibe?
I think most people have really genuinely liked her on the show, like have thought that she was good casting. Maybe people felt connected to her. Maybe people just thought like, this is good casting. I can't believe we didn't talk about Angie K not once.
I was just going to say,
her little trot and that little like beachwear. I've watched that scene so much. Like, it's just her little trot, her little Angie K trot, where she's like, like, it's just like, I want to hear like the cartoon music. Like,
what's been the vibe on her this season?
Icon star. Like, it's just been Jessel-esque in terms of like, one day something shifted and we were all like, is she?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
As I was like, I feel like people are on board, and even just in like, I don't want to say the edit she's gotten, but it does seem like there's been a lot of support for her this season. Yeah. I was like, oh, when did we, how did that?
I want to honestly have her on Andy's Girls. I want to talk to her. I want to talk to her long form. I'm like, I kind of die for her. Also, the glasses are, her sense of style. Honestly, everybody on Salt Lake has just a wild sense of labels or something, I guess is the better term than style. But my God, I just can't get enough of her. She's just such a light. Yeah. She's such a light in so many of our lives. And with I'm sad about the Monica stuff. I'm sad if this is what ended up happening. Because then it's like, what do we have next season? But they'll find somebody else.
There'll be somebody
else. We never thought, or many of us, or let me just take responsibility for myself. I never thought that the season after last season was going to be good. I thought it was going to be a recovery season that we would get through so they could figure out a way back to the light. And they have way, way exceeded my expectations. Mm. So they'll figure it out. It makes me sad if Monica isn't back. But if what people are alleging happened is true, I guess, regardless of whether or not she takes accountability for it. If that's true, then I understand why she might not be able to come back. And that's maybe on her.
This might be wild, but Salt Lake, does Salt Lake have the shadiest cast members of any other
shady
franchise?
In a negative way?
Yeah.
What do you mean? Shady as in strategic, or shady as in like cunning, or shady as cutting?
In jail.
Oh, like fraudy?
Yeah, fraudy.
I think Jen is, because like Tom Girardi wasn't a cast member.
Yeah.
There's a difference. And the Teresa Joe stuff, I mean, it's like Teresa, I don't even want to get into it, but it's like she signed mortgage documents. She, you know, she went to jail. She paid she quite literally paid the price.
And I'm sorry to
Joe.
I'm sorry to generalize that, in that many of them are maybe not shady, but the way that
but if we were talking about legal, literally legal, which cast has the most criminals in it? Like, that's what we're getting to, right? Obviously, like, criminal has been at the heart of, like, the SEC. Fuck me. Genuinely, I had a Perry seizure. And as a result, words when I say things out loud are different. And I fuck up phrases more often than not. But
here's what I mean by that. And not just cast members. Maybe not cast members. Maybe I just mean peripheral friends, whatever.
Who else is a criminal?
I mean, it just felt like Jen's whole network, obviously, whatever was happening.
Well, I mean,
shout
out the Shaw Squad.
But also,
how's
just
Duchesne's doing, by the way? Is he in jail? Like, what happened with his?
I don't know what the update is there.
I think that was like delayed for a while. Because, you know, I was at Jen Shaw's sentencing.
I do know. That's
that
how
was
I
wild.
Knew what was happening.
Yeah.
But even like, you know, whatever we forgot about with Mary and her
oh my God,
world.
I completely forgot about Mary.
And so it just feels like if Monica doesn't return, there's somebody else in their world that they will bring
Are
in.
Are you kidding?
That
this has been a very controversial episode. Are you saying that?
I just think find somebody else that's.
Mm-mm. Not in the current cast.
No. They'll find another person. No, not in the current cast. I mean, they'll find
another. Guilty maybe of being a bad friend. But.
Yeah. No, they'll find another Monica. I feel like the Monicas are not.
Is that the goal? Are we replacing one?
No.
And also, Monica's not being accused of crime. She's being accused of like bad sportsmanship. There's a difference between now I gotta again adjust my words because I like fuck this up again. But like it's not you're not saying I'm gonna circle back again. Yeah. Normally I change your mind based on new information. You're not saying the criminal thing. I thought you were saying that. You are saying the manipulative strategic. Let me go through my head. Not New Jersey, they try, and part of the fun is seeing them fail. New York, too new. Old New York, no. Potomac, no. Potomac, Giselle, Robin stuff, but nowhere near. I mean, that's the accusation is you were trying to bring attention to Candace and Chris to take attention away from what you knew was happening with Robin and Juan. But like, I don't know how that adds up with this. Beverly Hills, Munchausen, Rinna stuff. Kathy stuff, Orange County, Tamara's does the work of
I do mean
dozens
more legal.
Of house. Oh, well then fuck me again, Leah Polari. Then sure.
I do mean
Salt
just
Lake.
Like not great behaviors.
Again, though, that could be legal stuff or just being too manipulative.
Being manipulative is part of this job.
Then Jen, I think Jen takes the cake on
but
that.
I think it just, I think there's,
and I don't think she gets served cake.
No.
You might.
No, she's working on her abs. There's no time for
cake.
Oh,
yeah.
There.
What do they call her? Jen Fonda. She's with Theranos right now. They're like making pals. Good for her for networking.
Right.
I mean, why not? What else do you have time to do?
Two peas in a pod.
Honestly. God, that'd be great if they actually wrote a book together.
No, that'll be a podcast as well.
It will be a podcast and it'll be so popular. And I'll listen to at least a third of a single episode. Listen, Leah Palmieri, we got to shift gears because we're going to talk a little Southern charm. Can you tell the AGs where they can follow? This is such a nuts. I just like the last couple episodes have been just nonstop. People being like, you suck and here's why. And so I just can feel in my heart someone saying that because I suck at French and never took Spanish that I'm a bad person. And I just want to publicly apologize for the fact that I am not great at, honestly, English.
Yeah,
so English.
That's okay.
And any of the other important language. I wish I took Spanish.
The FEC forgives you.
The FEC 100% forgives me.
Also, by the way, when you would say it, I would think B. EC, like bacon, egg, and cheese. And I was, then it was making me hungry. So
do you eat a bacon, egg, and cheese? That's a very New York.
I am more of a ham, egg, and cheese.
Oof.
Yeah. I prefer ham over bacon.
And is the cheese, not to be an idiot, I should know this, the cheese isn't melted. It just might. It is? Is it purposefully melted or is it just as a result of being on hot?
Yeah, because it's hot. Well, it depends. Some people make it differently, but usually it's definitely melty.
And can you get that at any bodega?
Pretty much.
So ham and bacon are both typically options.
Yeah.
Wow. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, you should have one.
I'm a vegetarian. Over 2 decades.
Are you vegan?
No, but no. I err on the side. You've eaten with me.
You have
me
a
before.
Gluten situation too.
Yeah, I err on the side of dairy free. Mm-hmm. But dairy and I sometimes, but then sometimes it's really not a good idea. It really depends on that specific dairy and the path that is my tum. But I err on the side of like plant based. A lot of my favorite restaurants are because of plant based stuff.
I would say if you really feel like demolishing your body one day, that's not a bad way to do it.
Well, but I don't eat meat.
Yeah, but you can do, I'm saying like,
oh, that'll never egg happen. And cheese. Never happen. Mm. There's no way it would just, the idea of it, my tum is like so upset, honestly.
I am sorry that this is not a thing in your life, but you're
so
better
happy
off for
your
for
ham.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the egg part. Ham, egg, and cheese or ham and cheese? Ham, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So where can people find?
I would also just like to say when you were talking about don't be mad at
other
me
things
you don't
that
speak
I was
French.
Yeah. Je peux vous un peu. I said that a couple times.
Great.
Je suis, I was going to say Sarah, but that's not right. Je m'appelle Sarah.
Yes.
Voulez-vous coucher avec moi ce soir? No. We all remember that song. Yeah, no. It taught me a lot.
You can find me on Instagram at Little Leap. That's my Instagram.
The Petite Leap.
Yeah. Just Little Leap in English. And just don't say mean things to me.
Save them for me.
Yeah. Okay. You are emotionally equipped to handle the mean
things.
Am
I?
Yeah. Yeah,
we talked before this about me trying to unblock someone so I could call them a cunt and then I couldn't figure it out.
And what did I tell you?
You said... I forget.
You'll have another opportunity
I
soon.
I will. I and always, so, yeah. always will. And I'm so thankful for that. Speaking of things to be thankful for, thanks to all of the Patreon AGs who've supported this sassy little social experiment for this year, years past, and hopefully years to come. You can sign up for the AG Patreon. It's a great Christmas gift. That's the thing that people are focusing on right now with the new year is what level should I be on the AG Patreon? Mm-hmm. And we support that journey. And
go big.
Happy New Year. Go big, go home.
Yeah.
I mean, and go home and listen to new episodes on the AG Patreon. Yeah. You can get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. That VPR trailer, live reaction, and much more is available now at patreon.com/andysgirls. $2 a month gets you my love and thanks. $5 a month is where bonus episodes kick in. You get 2 bonus episodes. $10 a month gets you 4. And there's also a premium tier, the People's Patreon Couch, where you can record a Patreon episode with yours truly or have a private Zoom Kiki chat.
I love that.
You're glowing. You're literally glowing.
Sounds amazing.
You can follow me on Instagram and Threads at Dame Galley. And Leah, this was such a joy. I feel like this was really a little bit of a controversial. I don't know what's happening with my energy this week, but I'm a little extra spicy.
I like it. I did not mean to be controversial.
No,
but
no, no.
I just am me.
I think it's, well, you know what? We love you being you and me being me and us owning our opinions because that is honestly the most important thing at the end of the day. And also being open to people with different takes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the thing I was thinking about during the show. I know you're wrapping up here, but I just want to say.
No, this what is, if, you what know if, you're an AG when you're like, before I wrap, here's 10 to 15 more minutes. Welcome to my life.
I know that like we live in a very polarized world too, but it's
we
always,
do.
It's always so crazy that like, housewives, like we are all getting the exact same information.
Oh my God,
the same
said this yesterday.
The literal same information, and yet we are all interpreting it so differently.
Not only are we interpreting it, but we're placing judgment on someone who has a different interpretation or a different way of communicating. So it's like if you communicate that differently, truly go fuck yourself. Or if you communicate that differently, you're wrong. And sometimes they might be right. But
it's what makes the world turn.
It does make the world go round. And again, I mean, God, I'm going to be thinking about Monica for the rest of the day. I blame you for that.
Ugh, I'm so sorry.
I just, I'm going to try not to. I wish she, I just, we're ending on me just saying, it makes me a little bit sad, but you know what? We'll always have this season, no matter what happens during the finale and during the reunion. You know, those are going to be excellent episodes. We will always have this season. You know what I'm actually thinking? Maybe, again, doing a terrific job of rapping as I always do. Maybe I do some sort of Instagram live, because I don't typically watch the episodes live, but I'm going to have to with Salt Lake. Maybe I do some sort of IG live so that we can like react to whatever the fuck is. But then I would have to do an IG live, I guess, for a full hour. But maybe I'll
do it right after, because we all have feelings right after. So the second it's like coming up on the reunion, then you go live.
Do you want to do an IG live with me next week?
Yeah, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever done one with like another person.
One thing is
snorting.
I watch on Peacock.
Your face just got so, your eyes just got so, it was like you were telling me.
I can get my parents
telling me your
now.
Allergies. Yeah. And you were like, I'm allergic to apples.
I'm I'm allergic to cable. I can get a cable login. It's fine.
Can I give you my YouTube TV?
But I got one. Okay. It's fine. We'll be good. We'll be good.
Can we? Okay.
Yeah.
We have someone we can access that from? Okay. Because I finally had to get my own YouTube TV.
I see. That was
tough.
Yeah. I used to have it, but then I went to Peacock.
I have both. I mean, I have that. I have all of them.
There have been times where I've been like, is it 6 a.m. and the episode's up now? And they've been putting them up sometimes before 6 a.m.
I didn't know that was when it goes up.
That's the thing I've figured out as a Peacock subscriber.
You know what's fucking me up is that Freevee keeps putting Jeff Lewis's, the new episodes of Hollywood Housewife up the day before. So then I'm like, oh, wait, but you're telling me it's a Wednesday drop or whatever, but it comes up on Tuesday. Like, stop saying Wednesday. Just tell me Tuesday.
That's a sneaky little Amazon trick. They usually put things up at 9 p.m. Eastern the night before they actually are supposed to come out.
Does that help with streaming, whatever, charting?
I don't know. Because I watch Saltburn. Like the night.
Oh,
before.
I haven't seen that yet.
Oh, you're going to need to do a Patreon about Saltburn, by the way.
It makes my Tom anxious because I'm not great with, I can call anybody a cunt, but I'm not great with like explicit stuff. It like makes me nervous. Don't say anything. Don't
I'm not
spoil
say
it.
Anything.
Don't spoil it because I don't want to know, but I know that something crazy happens. Don't look at me in the eye. I appreciate Leah is looking away from me. We literally have been rapping for 45 minutes, but I don't want to know. I don't want to know what happened.
I won't say anything.
But you know, I have a sodium issue. So salt burn. I mean, do we really want to burn that salt? Do we want to put that in my body to keep me alive? I have a sodium solution literally in this little tumbler.
I was
going
to say, you do want to be hydrated to watch this movie, but it's more like I'm not good with gore. I'll put it that way. And so I was very nervous. No.
You just spoiled it.
I didn't spoil it.
I didn't know
there
was gore.
There's not really gore. What I was just going to say to you.
Don't tell me anything.
Okay. Then never mind. I was just going to say it was just a little more. It was.
Now I know. I'm so sorry.
You don't
know. I apologize to everybody.
You don't know anything.
That feels like a spoiler.
It's not a spoiler.
You know what I hate?
It's not a spoiler.
Okay, because we're never having this episode. I'm now absolutely twirling my hair. I just got another shot of adrenaline. You're going to be here all fucking day.
Happy to.
Buckle the fuck up. You know what I hate is when I like. When I'm like, no spoilers, which is my fault. I no longer tell people what I'm watching, which is unfortunate because then I can't like recap it because I don't want to know anything. Mm-hmm. When people are like, I'm not going to spoil it for you. But what happens in episode 4 of season 3?
No, that's a spoiler.
That is a literal spoiler. And then I'm so uncomfortable, awkward, nervous for episodes prior because I'm like, what is the thing that's going to happen? Takes me out. Just say you liked it or you didn't. Don't give me any reason why. Yep. That's not a time in which to bond and be communicative.
I cannot stand the headlines that are like, behind the twist of blah blah. No, don't tell me that there's even a twist.
You know,
don't even tell me that.
Yes, and you know who's really fucking bad at that, and I love them. I'm an ally to Vulture and New York Magazine, but they have a habit. I think they're now doing it on purpose to fuck with us. Of like the next day, and I get it. If you're online, you can't get upset at people for spoilers if you're on Instagram. You know, like forget what I said. Like if something is big. And it comes out and you haven't watched it and you're trying to stay on fucking Instagram, that's on you. You know, like that's your that's your journey.
Yes.
But what New York Magazine does that annoys the shit out of me is they will include the spoiler in the headline for the article. They've done it so many times, like literally within a 24-hour cycle. And then they always change it because they get feedback from people that
this
are like, you ruined
thing.
This.
Yeah, it's an SEO
it
thing.
It is an SEO thing. It's search engine optimization.
Correct.
See?
You got
LOL.
It. SEO, not SEC, just so
okay,
we're clear.
So shout out to the FECs and the SECs. We see each other. And thanks, guys, for listening to this bonus episode.
Oh, one other thing. No, I'm just kidding.
I will fucking murder you. On that note, guys, Happy New Year. And yeah, is that coming up? That's soon. Yeah, yeah, we started the episode talking about that. And we also ended the episode talking about that. And then I literally still forgot. Happy 2024. If you start this episode at minute whatever, you can finish it at midnight and hear me screaming into the void. And that's really how you want to get 2024 started, right?
Thankful my plans.
Amen. Thankful to all of you for listening and supporting AG. And listen, guys, we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.